Good to see you all here this morning. This morning it was obvious that fall is coming. My wife Nancy says, you know, whatever you think, fall's going to come. And then winter's going to come. And it happens every year. There's no stopping it. And this year's no different. And many of you are glad it's turned fall. Some are sad. Summer's ending. But anyway, it's good to be here together. We are, as you all know, we're celebrating a grand opening. We've been using our new addition for a little while, but we thought we'd wait till the end of summer to really kick it off. We've got it all finished, for the most part, finished off, and the way we want to enjoy it and use it. So glad you're here for that. And so, As those of you that have been here through the summer know, we were teaching through the book of Acts. We were walking through that book, and we finished that last week. And today we're going to talk about a grand opening subject. We're going to talk about the church is more than a building. We have a wonderful building here. God has blessed us with a place to gather. We want to talk about what the church is. Is it a building? Is it more than a building? Sometimes when you hear church, you think your first thought is it goes to a building. It might be that little country church down the road, a white clapboard with a steeple. It might be the big church downtown with the bell tower. You might think of something like the Crystal Cathedral. Remember that out in California a number of years ago? You might think of something like this. This is St. Basil's in Moscow. St. Basil's Cathedral. That doesn't quite look like our addition, but anyway, it's a different style than we were going for. Over the years, this church, Cedar Creek Church, over the years has had different gathering places. And so we're going to just take a quick pictorial tour of those gathering places. In the early 70s, we met at 904 Graham Avenue. This is a house just a block down Graham Avenue from the YMCA. And that's where we met. That's where we gathered. We met in the living room and dining room of this big three-story house. It was tough to heat, but that's where we met. And as we were a small church there, and some of you remember meeting there. Some of you remember living there. Some of those guys lived on the second floor, and then you just went downstairs to church. So, and then we kind of outgrew that, and so we looked for another, a little bigger place to meet. And so we rented a theater downtown, the Downtown Cinema. It's still there. I sometimes call it the cheap theater. It's where you can go for a bargain movie. We met there on Sunday mornings for a little while. It was kind of an interesting thing. Part of the deal was we needed to clean up after Saturday night before we met Sunday morning. And so we would sweep or leaf blow the popcorn all down to the front and shovel it into garbage cans, and the floor was always a bit sticky. And so that's where we met for a while, I don't know, a year or two. And then we found a place. God provided a different place across the river, and that was the Stokes and Munt Funeral Home. It's interesting. We met in a funeral home, which sounds kind of, that's kind of not the most lively place. But we were reading in the paper yesterday about a church in Mellon, Wisconsin, that's just getting rolling, and they were meeting in a funeral home. So I thought, we're not the only ones. This building is gone. Now, it was at the end of the Grand Avenue footbridge. Now there's that wire sculpture thing in its place, if you're familiar with that. That's where this sat. We have to. Your mother will take you to see it. And then we moved from there. We thought it'd really be nice to have a building where we could meet through the week. Here we just had it Sunday mornings. And so God provided another building, and we were able to purchase it. Actually, we were able to trade that big white house. We still own that big white house. We were able to trade it for this building at 1108 Second Avenue. And it's still there. Oop, close up. And this served us well for a number of years. We made the most of kind of an old building with a bat issue. We were there for a number of years and enjoyed meeting there. And then we made a big move out to the Waterworks Waterbed store, which was about 800 feet that direction. And we were there for about 3 years. We grew there, and then we cut the building in half and moved it over here. That was, boy, I don't remember how many years ago that is, but it's a while ago. And so now we're here. And, that's kind of a fuzzy picture. We have met in a variety of places. We have met in houses, movie theater, funeral home, and along the way. We've gathered in these places. God has provided all along for our gathering and for a place. And even though the sign on the wall outside says Cedar Creek Community Church, this building, as nice as it is not Cedar Creek Community Church. It's the people within the walls. People within the walls. So if the church is not just the building, but the people within the walls, so what is the church? What is it? You know, is it simply a social organization that we meet together, meet people that are nice, and we can befriend and enjoy community? Is it somewhere we go to, like a school, to gain some knowledge or wisdom that frees us or enlightens us somehow? Is the church a place where everybody's got their act together, that everybody is living the dream, and it just life is going along swimmingly, and we don't have struggles or troubles? And is the church where everybody's got it together? Is it a place where we go and we all think alike? We all think alike. We all follow the same path. Is it where we all vote alike? Is it where we all dress alike? Is it where we all try to look alike? Is the church that place? There's a lot of organizations that you can belong to. There's the Kiwanis and the Lions, and there's the Sportsman's Club and Ducks Unlimited. There's all kinds of organizations you can join. You can join with like-minded people, people that have similar interests. Is that what the church is? Is the church any different from that? Is it just another club that some of us choose to belong to? You know, oftentimes in our country, churches have been kind of the center of a community. Oftentimes, and particularly in small communities, the church was not only the religious center, but the social and the activity, the place people went and gathered and saw their neighbors and came together, and it had a lot of history. And over time, there's a kind of a phenomenon that is happening with the churches in our country. They're falling into disuse. Those church buildings, sometimes as we travel around, we see a kind of a attractive church building in town, and you look and say, oh, what kind of church is that? Oh, it's a performing arts center, or it's an art gallery, or something like that. They've been repurposed. Those church buildings aren't housing a church anymore. It's the building. And in one sense, the church is gone, but the building remains. So what is it? What is the church? What brings the people? If it's the people, what is it that brings them together? What is it, just a club? Is there something more to it? What makes a person part of the church? We're going to take a look at a few verses in the book of Ephesians. And this is it's a book that Paul, the Apostle Paul, wrote to this church in Ephesus. And it sheds a little light on what brings us together. What's the common bond? And want to look at that. There were two groups of people that made up kind of two social or tradition groups that made up the church in Ephesus. They were Jewish folks, which most of the early church at that time started out were Jewish folks. And then there were these non-Jewish folks they called Gentiles. So there's these two groups, and now they find themselves in this loosely organized thing called a church. And there were some problems that were arising because over the centuries, the Jewish people had been chosen by God. God had been working through them and been giving them his instructions and had told these people that they were special. They were a distinct people. And they had been very careful to remain distinct from the people around them. And now there were these Gentiles that were in the church, and they were having a little hard time mixing. Didn't quite see that these Gentiles now could be full participants in this new thing called the church. And so I think there's a little we can learn from if we look at that. You know, we don't have that same issue. You know, we don't necessarily divide on Jewish and Gentile lines, but we're not all alike. We have differences. We have different backgrounds, different ethnicity. You have different things going on. And so what can we learn from these folks who had this division? So in Ephesians 2, starting in verse 11, it says, "Therefore remember that formerly you who are Gentiles by birth and called the uncircumcised by those who call themselves the circumcision, remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world." So they were separate. They were separate. They were separate. They were excluded. They were foreigners. That doesn't sound... And they were well aware of that, these folks. And so that's what had caused the problems. They were separate. They were excluded. They were foreign. There were some pretty strong divisions in that society that they didn't mix. But so they were separated. They were two very different groups. Then reading on, it says, "But now, in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two groups one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility." The two, he's made peace for the two groups. It says, you've been brought near by the blood of Christ. You've been brought near. So they were separated, they were far away, and they've been brought near by the blood of Christ. And what is that talking about? What is that talking about? The blood of Christ refers to Jesus' sacrifice, Jesus' death that had happened a number of years before this time. And this is the thing that brought them near, that's brought them together, that seemed to be the thing that was common. And so what does that refer to, that sacrifice? Really, it comes down to the people that Paul wrote this letter to, they had a problem. And it's the same problem that people throughout history have had. They were separated, estranged from their Creator, from God. God created us to have a relationship with Him, but because we didn't honor Him or put Him first as He desired, as He deserves, it created a separation. That's what the Bible calls sin. When we put anything before God, when we choose to go apart from Him, that's called sin. And it puts a distance between us. It makes us far away, as he said. And then there was a price to be paid, and Jesus paid that price. And we could talk a lot about that, but in a nutshell, Jesus made a sacrifice that he didn't need to make, he didn't deserve to, but he did on our behalf. He substituted. And through his death and resurrection, we were brought near. We were brought near. In verse 16, it says, his purpose was to create in himself one new humanity out of the two, thus making peace, and in one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to those who were far away and peace to those who were near. So God came to make, he made peace on our behalf. We all want peace. And he created a way that we could have peace with him. And when we have peace with him, it's possible to have peace with one another. They were brought back. They were reconciled. Being reconciled means being brought back into a friendly relationship. We were brought back into a friendly relationship with God. So these two groups here in Ephesians and the, had one thing in common, and that was Jesus. They had all chosen to place their faith in Jesus. That's the one thing they had in common. I suspect that they didn't have much else in common. Their culture was different. Their history was different. They were different. But they had this one thing in common, and now they were the church together. Reading on, it says, consequently, verse 19, consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but your fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household. Your fellow citizens. Most of us in the room, I suspect, are citizens of the United States. We're fellow citizens. And so they were fellow citizens together because of what they'd entered into, but also members of his household. That's a little closer than being fellow citizens. We're all citizens of the United States. We're not all in the same household. He's talking about a spiritual household here, the church. He said, you're of the same household. The same household. Their family. He's telling them, okay, all you that have been so different, you've been separated, you've been far away from each other, now you're family. That was kind of, think about it, that's pretty radical. You're not just, you know, you're not just going to the same church, you're family. Wow. So then he goes on, he's going to talk about building. We're here talking about a building today. He's talking about a building. It was built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. In him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. The cornerstone, it says Jesus is the cornerstone of this building. The church is called a building here. Again, here I said more than a building. It's a spiritual building made up of people. And Jesus is the cornerstone. And I think of, when I think of cornerstone, and maybe you do too, you think of that big building that's got that cement block in the corner with the date it was built on. You know, that's the cornerstone. In building, and I'm sure these gentlemen over here know this better than I, but cornerstone is where you start and you get that stone in just the right place because everything else is referenced off of that for your walls, etc. So if you get that wrong, you get it wrong. And it goes out. Jesus is the cornerstone. He's the central truth in the church. He's the common factor, the truth upon which the church is built. That's what we have in common, what it says here. And it says, and you are being built into a building to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. So we're also God's house. We're God's house. Now, it doesn't sound very dynamic, very exciting to be a brick. It'd be a stone, because talking about being built up into a house or into a building, a temple, doesn't sound very, well, I'm a brick, you know. But there's another picture that's used that we'll get to in a minute. One other point I wanted to make. So the church is a gathering of people who have entered into this faith relationship with Jesus, and that's the common factor. And that's what makes a person part of the church. But I don't want folks to think that the church is exclusive and someone that's not made that choice or is checking that out is not welcome. We want to welcome anyone that wants to seek that truth and who is beginning that journey. Wherever you are or they are on that journey, we want to come alongside and help and be here. But that is the common factor here in the church. And in the churches all around our city, all around our state, all around our country, around the world, Christian churches meet, and Jesus is the cornerstone. And we have all different shapes and sizes, buildings, but we have that common cornerstone. So there's another analogy besides a building that is used in the Bible to describe what the church is. And it's a little more dynamic, I think. And that is in Romans. In Romans 12 and in a couple other places, but we're going to look at Romans. It says, it talks about us being a body. Being a body. It says, for just as each of us has one body with many members. That's true of me. I have one body, but I have lots of different parts. I've got hands. I've got a nose. I've got feet. I've got kidneys. All of that. So we're one body, but we have many parts. And these members do not all have the same function. So in Christ, though many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. So we're a body. And my body parts belong together. It's unfortunate if they get separated. They belong to each other. My hands belong to my arms, and my arms belong to my torso. It's a good thing that they stay together. It's a good thing. And that's the picture that's used there of the church. The church is made up of lots of different parts, lots of different people with different abilities and gifts and skills. And God puts us together to accomplish what he wants the church to accomplish. And so in all its variations and in all its imperfections, the church is the building and the body of Jesus in the world. That's amazing that God would entrust folks like us with all our shortcomings and all our limitations to reflect him in the world today. But he does. And there are these gatherings all over the world that are reflecting God in a variety of ways. So why do we gather in these buildings? Why do we gather together different times, different ways, different places? Just really quickly, I just want to kind of run through. And again, we could talk about what the church does for weeks. But I just want to hit a few bullet points. One, and I think a primary thing we can do is we come together to worship. Come together to worship God. We come together to recognize who he is and who we are. In Colossians 3, it says let me find it here. I'll read it up there. Since then you've been raised with Christ, set your minds on things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set our minds. It helps us set our mind when we worship. I think of worship, and this might sound kind of funny, but I think it was when we put God in his place. And when I say that, oftentimes if we use that term, when we put somebody in their place, we think of putting them down. I'm going to put them in their place. Well, when we put God in his rightful place, we put him up. We raise him up. We honor him for who he is and what he has done. So we come together, we gather together to be reminded. I need that. I need to be reminded that God is good. God is great. And he deserves my honor and my attention. And then we come together to learn. I'm having a little trouble with pages here today. So we come together to learn. Let the message of Christ, this is in Colossians 3:16. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. We learn from each other. We need to be instructed. There's so many voices we can listen to in this world. There's so many things coming at us telling us what's right, what's true, what's whatever, and we need to be reminded of what God has said is true and what's right and what's good. And so we learn. We come to encourage each other. Hebrews has said, let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Don't give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another. I need encouragement. You need encouragement. And moving along. We come together for that. That's one of the purposes. We come together to care for each other. And, you know, over through the years, as I look through those pictures of the buildings where we've met, it reminds me of who was meeting in those places and the care they had for each other. And it really is pleasant. I mean, it really, it's kind of a cliche, it warms my heart. But it's just so pleasant when I see people meeting needs of those in the church. When I hear people going out of their way for each other. And that happens all the time. You don't always see it. It happens because people aren't standing up here and go, hey, guess what I did this week? I helped somebody move, or I made a meal for somebody who just had a baby, or whatever. And over the years, as we've gone through, we've seen people married, had kids, we've raised kids together, we've seen them go off, we've had graduations, we've had funerals, we've had all those things we've done together as we cared for each other. So we gather together to care. And then finally, we gather together to be that reflection of God in the world. In Matthew 5:16, it says that we should be a light so that people would see our good works and glorify God who's in heaven. And God's church can do that in how we live, individually and together. And we can invite others to join us here. So the church is the people. It's not the building. The building is a great tool we have to use, but it's the people. And it's based in our common bond is Jesus. He's the cornerstone. And we meet here together to do that. Our building is a gift. It's a blessing to have a place to meet, especially in the wintertime. But it's good to be together. It's a tool to use to carry out God's purposes for the church. And we just pray that we use it well, that we worship the God who made us, that we encourage each other, we care for each other, and we invite others to join us here. So as we celebrate, just enjoy the building we have and enjoy each other as we gather together week after week. Let's pray. Father, thank you that you are faithful. You have been faithful over the years. God, thank you that you have been faithful to lead us, faithful to provide, faithful to do us good. And we are glad. We are glad. We want to honor you today and thank you. And thank you for the privilege of being in your building and your body. Amen.